We seem to be in a new era of protest in America, and that got us thinking about the role protest songs have played throughout our history. Keith Haugen is a veteran performer of songs that contain a public call to action. In 1993, the 100th anniversary of the overthrow of the Hawaiian monarchy, he won a songwriting contest with Ika La'apopo, a song that calls on Hawaiians to rise up and claim what is rightfully theirs. He's with us this morning with some thoughts about the role of the singer-songwriter in any protest movement. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. You know, you and I both remember when we first heard songs like We Shall Overcome, Bob Dylan's
yes.
Blowin' in the Wind, songs by, songwriters like Phil Oakes, who isn't that remembered these days, but, you know, Phil Oakes wrote We Ain't A-Marchin' Anymore.
Yeah.
That was a large part of the, certainly that particular movement. We just heard that John Fogerty song, Fortunate Son, that got adopted by, you know, the guys in Vietnam. Why songs? What is it about songs, Keith?
Well, I think the appeal of music is international, and I think it attracts songwriters to write songs like that because they recognize that they can have an influence on public opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And it dates way back, as you know. I think of the spirituals and stuff, Study War No More and songs mm-hmm. like that.
Sure.
Probably made a major influence on a lot of people back in those days, and it hasn't changed at all.
It's a direct route to the emotions, for one thing.
Correctly, yeah.
Well, it's certainly something that you've done throughout your career as a songwriter, isn't it?
I have. I often look at the songs that I've written over the years and think of them as music with a message, because I try to focus on a strong message that either I have very strong feelings about or that I know an audience will have strong feelings about. And war is one, of course, War and Peace, and so I've written quite a few in that genre.
You know, I kind of see what you do as kind of as a descendant of people like Pete Seeger with the Weavers, Woody Guthrie, coming out of that world, right?
Yeah, icons who have become my idols.
Yeah, sure.
Pete Seeger is a great example of that.
Yeah, because he was all, you know, he never failed to perform at a benefit, for one thing.
Yeah.
There at the March on Washington, all that.
And he had a knack for getting the entire audience involved to sing along on the songs that carried a message he wanted to make.
That's no reason why that tradition should ever go away, is there?
It shouldn't. It shouldn't. And I don't think it will, because songwriters are inspired by things like that. It's easier to write a song about an issue that you feel strongly about than something that you have to just conjure up for which you have no special aloha.
Well, Keith, let's hear a little bit. First of all, let's hear just a fragment of the song you wrote about the overthrow. And what do those lines mean, Keith?
The song, that says the people cry for their queen, says they cry because of the overthrow. They have all passed on, also the monarch, the queen's gone. And indeed, only thing that remains is their land. And I wrote that in 1993 when they were marked the 100th anniversary of the overthrow.
Mm-hmm.
And although not many of my songs were inspired by song contests, this one was. The Friends of the Royal Hawaiian Band announced a contest for songs in the Hawaiian language which would relate to the overthrow of 1893.
Mm-hmm.
And it inspired me to write this song. And I knew that I was writing to a specific audience because the song says, sovereignty will return tomorrow. And a lot of people don't believe that sovereignty should ever return, but a lot of people do. And it appealed mostly to that latter category.
What kind of response have you gotten to that song?
Well, when I first released it, I had quite a bit of response, all positive, because the people who might not agree with it didn't understand it. It was in the Hawaiian language,
and
they
one
didn't
way.
Get it. But the song really, you know, it's, the chorus of it says, rise up, Hawaiians, rise up, descendants, and claim what's rightfully yours, and meaning the land, of course. And those who understood the Hawaiian lyrics responded in a nice way. At the time, there were several other sovereignty songs that came out, and I think they all had an effect on the Hawaiian-speaking population.
Again, sort of tapping into, you know, getting past the words, the issues,
yes,
right to the emotion.
Yeah.
There's another song that we were thinking about, your song, Ceasefire. What inspired that?
Well, I was inspired when Iraq and Iran were at war back in 1987, 88, and we were supplying weapons to both sides. And that really upset me. It didn't seem like a thing that America should be doing. And so I wrote the song called Ceasefire. Actually, I wrote it as a Christmas song. And it had good response at the time, but it got its recognition 20 years later when they finally, on International Peace Day, 20 years after I'd written it, they gave me an award from the both houses of the state legislature and the Spark Matsunaga Institute for Peace for writing lyrics that made sense about peace. And I called it Ceasefire, and everybody said, you can't call a Christmas song Ceasefire. And I said, I don't know why not. And we're celebrating the Prince of Peace.
What better time, right?
Yeah.
Let's hear a little bit of that, Keith.
Thank you.
Not far from where the Christ child lay, men are killing men today. While we talk of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Bombs and rockets light the sky where angels once sang on high, and we supply the weapons that spell their bloody end.
Keith, that song builds on the obvious irony of war going on in the Holy Land, right?
Yes, yeah. And, you know, people could relate to that. And, of course, that would have failed if I'd have written it in Hawaiian, perhaps. But it reached a larger audience, and I had mixed emotions from this. Like I said, I had some people who said I shouldn't have a song called Ceasefire at Christmas time. And I said that seemed like the most appropriate time for me. And it goes on, you know, to say that somewhere on this blessed earth there's been trouble ever since before his birth. Men cried out and we ignored their pleas. And I wanted to make a point that, and at that particular time, that it was wrong for us to be supplying weapons to two sides that are fighting each other, because that kind of defeated the whole purpose of what we stand for, you know.
And yet there were undoubtedly at that time cynical voices saying, let them wipe each other out, right?
There were lots of them. In fact, when I finally got the recognition for that song 20 years after I had written and first recorded and released it, I had people who remembered that some of the radio stations, for instance, refused to play it. And the reason they refused it was they thought Ceasefire was not an appropriate title for a Christmas song.
The whole idea that that ceasing fire would be an unpatriotic,
yeah,
un-Christmassy
exactly
emotion. Thanks so much, Keith.
Thank
Great
you.
To talk to you.
Chris, thanks much.
Keith Haugen is a songwriter and the author of Ikala Apopo, a song about the 1893 overthrow of the Hawaiian monarchy, and the song you just heard, Ceasefire. You can read the lyrics to Ikala Apopo in Hawaiian and English on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page.